Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
I like Tibbs. Tibbs has been hitting in low single. He's a rookie, though. I mean, he just got drafted last year, and he just really started to catch fire the last month or so. Defensively, I guess he leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know how that plays in your ballpark. Maybe they move him to left field. I don't know. I really don't know down the line. The kid can hit, though. I like him. I actually do like him. I think he can be a player. I mean, he's no Raffy Devers at the plate, but, you know, we'll see.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was new friend of the show and Morning Roast co-host from San Francisco in the Odyssey family, Joe Shasky, who joined us in the 3 o'clock hour today to bring us the Bay Area perspective on the Rafael Devers trade and how they feel like they stepped in poop and found a $1,000 bill at the bottom of their shoe print. If you missed the interview, of course, you can go back using the Odyssey app, listen to it at your leisure, or subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast. Happy to have you, everybody, on a beautiful summer day, kicking things off on the Jaws 50th, longest day of the year. Nick Fitzy Stevens, Dan Ball, and, of course, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson here in the house. And, boys, we got some great fresh perspective from enemy territory earlier in the show from Joe Shasky, and I'm sure he mirrors and emulates the feelings of a lot of San Francisco Giants fans. Whereas back home, I feel like we are still stuck in the muck and the mire of M-I-R-E, not M-A-Y-E-R, Dan, of exactly how we should feel about this. Is it time to move on? Do we have Devers drama fatigue? Did the Red Sox get enough? Will they actually come out on top, getting out from underneath Rafael's money and dealing with some decent prospects? Or do they end up just losing the trade and the Breslow bot got played in a house full of malcontents and discontent, as we learned in the Jeff Passan piece?
I got to imagine San Francisco fans, Fitzy, are feeling right now exactly as Red Sox fans have been dying to feel for 5 years at this point. I think we got a little taste of it with, oh my God, we got Garrett Crochet, that kind of move. But oh, we've been waiting for that big swing. I remember it feels like a lifetime ago rooting for this team when every big fish was, oh well, he's going to be a Red Sox, he's going to be a Yankee. That it feels like it was a lot longer ago than it was. But I just have to imagine, and Joe Shasky was the perfect mouthpiece, even though it was frustrating to hear how happy he was and how excited he was with all of it. But
good passion.
Great passion. Passion I wish that we all could have when we were talking about this team and this fan base and the front office and the money that they're spending. But Ted Johnson, I would certainly like to be in Joe Shasky's shoes, because I feel like Giants fans are feeling a pretty strong about their former player, Buster Posey, running this team and the aggressiveness with which they're building their roster.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, it might be the best power hitter they've had since Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't had a 30 home run hitter since 2004, which was the last year of Barry Bonds. So, and he said basically Joe did partly because just the design of the ballpark, it's not friendly for hitters, right? And so big time hitters don't want to go there. You probably have to trade for him. And so they finally traded for a guy that where the power will match up and they'll start seeing maybe perhaps more home runs being hit there. And it also, I think they feel pretty good about it because I think they all understand, at least the news that's coming out is basically showing that Rafi was done with this franchise, with this leadership group. That all the problems that he was dealing with here, he's leaving behind here. And when he goes to San Fran, he'll do whatever they want because it's they're starting with a clean slate. And so I don't think they're. When we asked Joe about, are you guys concerned about him being a malcontent? It's like he wants to be here. He was glad to get out of there. And so I can see why they would be excited. But this Jeff Passan article, guys, there's so many interesting nuggets that come out of it. Let me just tell you some of the ones that jumped out at me.
Yeah, what I'm curious to compare to what was what we both had highlighted first.
And what is kind of amazing about this expose, if you will, is that it's come out in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like at the end of the season. It's right in the middle of the season. And so for this kind of juicy information to get out is pretty amazing. But one of the couple of the things that jumped out at me was them Jeff Passan says that, quote, multiple high-ranking officials in baseball ops were opposed to the idea of signing Devers to a long-term deal. There was a lot of people that didn't even want to give him that money.
It was a reactionary John Henry move. Don't we agree?
Correct. So, but to hear them say that is interesting. So you're signing a guy with all that money when there's people in the building that think that's a bad idea.
Right.
That to me already it's off to a bad start. The core wanted to meet with Devers and the Dominican to kind of go over what was going on with the Bregman thing. He tried to call and he was not returned those phone calls. So Alex could never get in touch with Rafi in the offseason to try and communicate and smooth things over. I thought that was interesting as well. And then this is something that really stood out is that the organization's reliance on analytics for decision making had come at the expense of productive interpersonal communications, which I think is kind of the crux of a lot of the problems. Analytics and Breslow has really shoved it down the throats of everyone there, the old people that were there, the players that are there. And so it is basically, it's whatever the computer says. And there's no real interpersonal discussions being had and kind of trying to figure it out as a group. It's what does the computer say? And that's what we do, so those are some of the things that really jumped out. And then one more thing, one overarching kind of thing that jumped out to me is that this is Breslow's team. Breslow has the power. Breslow thinks he's the man to get it done. It becomes across a little bit as Breslow's, kind of really thinks he's the man, even though he was the 15th guy interviewed for the job.
With no prior experience at the level that he's currently working.
He is flexing muscles that I think is a little bit surprising when you consider his inexperience and background. So those are some of the highlights of that article.
Mm-hmm, for sure. This is obviously a piece on ESPN.com. We're discussing folks that was published now about 5-6 hours ago about what disarray and dysfunction was going on in the Red Sox front office and clubhouse as they botched, according to one and many, the Rafael Devers deal. Dan, passage that we discussed earlier about how Breslow's circle of trust is narrowing and there are people that could be turncoats in the organization plotting against him. Our pal Jared Carabas said, stating the obvious, but after reading the Passan piece, I don't think Breslow is long for this job. It sounds like he's got a small nerd clique and then everyone else can't stand him. Fascinating he's managed to create this environment in such a short span of time. And another nugget that was passing around on social media today, the quote about confirming that Cora told Devers to throw his glove away this season. Remember we've talked about that so much, you guys?
Right.
Quote, after Cora told him not to even bother bringing a glove to the spring training fields, he was comfortable that at least he could focus only on hitting. So, let's ask this question. When you're paid that much money, do you have a right to say,
but you told me to do X. Now you're telling me to do Y? Or do you say, okay, I was getting comfortable doing X, but if Y is in the best interest of the team, that's what you can count on me as the $31.3 million a year guy?
The franchise, basically in this article, Jeff Passan leads you to believe that the team didn't think it was too much of an ask with Rafi when you consider these factors. When you consider they didn't ask him to be a leader, they didn't ask him to, like, you know, they've asked him to talk to Nesson or to do interviews, which he rejected a lot of times.
Yep.
But they didn't ask him to be a more vocal leader. They just let him be who he was. That's one. They didn't push more for him to be in shape. They didn't pressure him to come in better shape than what he's typically come in. They didn't, they realized he wasn't, a good infielder. And so they didn't, that was something that they overlooked, the fact that he wasn't the best infielder.
They gave him a ton of leeway.
And then the last thing is he was the highest paid player. So right. there's these other things that they were thinking that when they asked him to ultimately move to first, and this is where it really got off the rails, was not too much of an ask when you consider those things I just mentioned.
Yeah, no question about it. Like, they were dealing with a player and an individual who is just naturally immature. It's just, it's a guy who I think it's baked into the pie that he's a kid, he's a child. And for a while before that contract, that was a positive thing. Oh, look at Rafi. Look at the big smile on his face. They call him Rafi Big Scoops. Like, it was just, he loves ice cream and playing baseball and hitting dingers. It was great. And then all of a sudden you pay him $300 million, and that can no longer be good enough. But you paid the money to a guy who, as you talked about, was not capable of handling the duties that comes with being the highest paid player and being the face of the franchise and being the guy that's on the center of the program when you go and buy it at Fenway Park. And so I think that this situation was handled by a guy in Craig Breslow who, as he admitted to, he admitted this on the Zoom call, it was handled by a guy who was incapable of dealing with the human side of the baseball player. The computer said that he should be the designated hitter. Our models say that he's the best designated hitter, and Brezbot is jumping in on the conversation as we speak.
Who the hell needs Rafi Devers when we can recreate him in the aggregate?
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure Stiz. I'm sure you wrote out the part "recreate him in the aggregate." That sounds like you.
Moneyball, baby.
Absolutely genius. That's just, my God, Michael. Yeah. Somewhere Michael Lewis is smiling. Hey, by the way, a little update, vertical tease here on WEEI. Great get for our pal Christian Arcand. Tonight, 7 o'clock on his program, Jeff Passan will be joining him on the Christian Arcand show to discuss this piece as well.
Way to go, Christian.
So make sure you stay tuned all the way through WEEI afternoons, right straight into the Christian Arcand show. Tonight, 7 p.m., Jeff Passan joins Arcand to discuss everything he reported on, his opinions, and more in the Rafael Devers piece. That level of immaturity, Dan. This, see, now, yes, Breslow, too inhuman, as I like to say oftentimes, bad bedside manner, doesn't have a human touch for something that is very analytical and numerical, but still has to have a human element to it because it's still people that play baseball, for now. But I hate to say this, like, we talk about what did Cora do wrong? And he told us in his weekly interview back on Tuesday this week, there were plenty of things he could have gone back and done differently. Things other people like Breslow and probably Endeavors and a million others. I hate to say this. I am now coming around on the idea I am going to lay the majority of the blame on this on John Henry. I am going to lay the majority of the blame at the feet of John Henry for reacting to the negative reception that he received, the bad reception that he received at FanFest, and the Red Sox fan unrest from Mookie Betts' disaster, letting Bogarts go and getting nothing in return, and then subsequently signing Devers to a deal he wasn't comfortable with, full well knowing he had maturity issues and probably was not prepared to be the third of a billion-dollar face of the franchise. So I now lay the majority of the blame for all of this at the feet of John Henry, and if anything, Breslow and others were just kind of undoing his mistake.
Well, there's another in the countless nuggets in the ESPN story that we've been citing, talking about how ownership went from trying to be the conduit in these conversations to try to fix this, to try to get them seeing eye to eye, to signing off on a trade in the matter of, it seemed, weeks or maybe months. So it seems, based on the kind of the nuggets that Jeff Passan has laid out, that they wanted to make the best of this investment, and John Henry specifically wanted to make the best of the money that we know he's being very, very cognizant of in these years after a few poor long-term deals. It seems like, Ted, they went from, we're trying to make the most of this investment, to, this guy is making a mockery of this investment. We paid him money. I'm not going to have Rafael Devers' ego supersede my ego. We need to get this guy out of town. So as much as we make fun of Breslow and Brezbot for not being able to handle this with the human touch and kind of talk his way out of it, I think you're more than justified in putting a lot of this at the feet of the ownership, because he's the one who okayed Craig Breslow. He's the one who okayed the contract despite seemingly not really wanting to pay it. And it seems like he is the one who ultimately hit the big red button, because you can't trade a $300 million player without the owner on board.
Yeah, I think definitely I've always thought the franchise was a little bit more at fault than Rafi in this whole thing. I know Rafi's a big part of it, but I feel like, and you're right, when you say the owner, I think there's some truth to that, because I look at it like how when Robert Kraft decided to put Gerard Mayo in as his head coach.
Sure.
And we saw pretty quickly that was a bad decision. But I feel like just a couple hours after the last game of the season, Kraft got, let go of Gerard and started moving on to Mike Vrabel. Like, it's like, I like that these guys can recognize their mistakes fast. I mean that was you got to give Gerard at least 1 year, and I mean, they didn't waste time trying to figure out what they wanted to do. They made a swift decision. I feel like for the most part, this thing soured pretty quickly, and they knew that what the writing was on the wall, and they acted swiftly. Rafi could still be here. We could still be trying to figure it out, but I think they saw that it wasn't going to ever get turned around, and so they made, which would be an unpopular decision, what was letting go of Rafi. But I think so I give him credit for that. Ultimately, you're right, Fitz, that they should have never signed him to this deal in the first place. But you can understand why. There was a lot of heat on him at that time. You were losing star player after star player, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, and so you couldn't let Rafi go. So I think he made a decision what he thought what the fans would like. Ultimately, it bit him in the butt.
617-779-7937 if you want to share your thoughts via text, or give us a call here at Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Let's go to the phones right now. He's been waiting longest. We'll take you in priority order. Our old pal, Double Dry Hop Matt, down in Rhode Island. Matt, how are you, guy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Ted Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I listened to the interviews last week. I let me go on a limb and say, is Spillane your kind of player?
He's
a linebacker.
He's intense, man. Yeah, I like to cut his jib for sure.
Nice, same. So with Williams and Barrymore, with Davis on the other side of Gonzalez, with Peppers coming back, new defensive coordinator. Where do you see this defense? Where do you see the ceiling on this defense?
Look, man, I think they.
Thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate it.
I think they could,
buddy,
be a top 10 defense, and why? What I. Potentially because I like the corners. I mean, they have two excellent corners. That's huge. And then you have a guy that on the defensive line for the first time. When's the last time they've had a defensive lineman, the Patriots, that you had to game plan for, that you had to double team?
I would say Big Vince, probably. It's been about a decade or
so. It's been a long time. Matthew Judon, you never had to double team him. He got all his sacks off of 2- and 3-man twists in games. Milton Williams can beat one-on-one, and he can beat double teams. That J.J. Watt was that way. I'm not saying put him in that same class, but you get my point. So you probably have the best corner combo you've had in a while with the best defensive lineman they've had in a while. In the safeties, I just think there's a lot of variety there in things that you can do with the safeties to mix and match. So I feel like this has a chance of being a top 12, top 10 defense. I think it's going to be smart. I think they're going to be aggressive. They preach violence, so I think they're turning up the heat as far as what they expect from this defense. So I'm expecting the defense to carry this team clearly, obviously. But I think it could go from a bottom third to middle to top 10, top 12 defense with the personnel that they got.
And let's think also, too, ever so nicely about the positive fallout of a pass rush and a stout defensive line and what that'll do for the secondary, having not one but two of the top 10 cornerbacks in football.
Can Barrymore live up to his contract? I would love that.
If he's healthy, I think he can, Ted. If he goes back to December 2023, Christian Barrymore, when he was devouring offensive lines by himself, I think so.
Then you got something special, maybe, if Christian Barrymore can get back to that that's a point in his career.
Shane's in Haverhill. What's up, Shane?
Hey there, guys. So I do agree with Raffy. You know, being in his 20s, he should have been more flexible with the Red Sox. That being said, I played college first base and catcher.
Brag.
I don't think he was even in any kind of shape to play first base. I cannot see that man pulling off a split. That's what I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, preach it, Shane. Preach it.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate the call, buddy. I couldn't agree more. Like, he may have hurt his groin just running back to first base at one point. He's not in great shape. I wonder, is this, maybe this is a bridge too far, but like, once he found out he wasn't going to be playing third base at all, did he let himself fall into worse shape?
There may be something to that.
But that would run counter to his, he got off to a really slow start. And then he got better and better and better at his hitting. I mean, do you have to be in great shape to hit the ball? I don't know. Maybe it's just his hand speed and bat speed. Maybe it's hand eye has nothing to do with how chunky you might be. But I mean, he got off to one of the worst starts of his career and then started turning it around. So I don't know. I feel like he would look the same the whole way through. I couldn't tell.
Fitzy, I would like to cite a source to back up Shane. This was from Kevin Youkilis yesterday afternoon. It's shocking how many people, especially former MLB players, play down the difficulties of playing first base. It's the same thought process I had when asked to play outfield. Told myself it shouldn't be that hard because of shagging balls at batting practice. Man, was I wrong. I stunk in the outfield. So yeah. That's kind of directly, indirectly. We've cited Lou Maloney. Will Middlebrooks has talked about the idea of going from third to first. It's definitely case to case. You need a certain level of athleticism, but would Raffy be able to focus when holding a runner on first base? Would he be able to do the splits or go side to side or go off the bag, catch it, and tag the runner on the fly? Maybe at some point with a lot of work, but I don't look at his profile and his defensive holes and go, yeah, that's my guy. That's my that's my improvement on what the Red Sox were getting at first base.
Yeah, he's not playing first base in this series. No way. Because he told you he doesn't want to play first base until he's had some reps and had time. And I don't think the Giants would put him out there and maybe potentially embarrass him. That's the last thing they want. So all this talk about him playing first base against the Red Sox, I think, is pie in the sky. I don't think it's going to happen, Fitzy.
Time for one more call before the break. Mike's in Waltham. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike in Concord.
Oh, Mike in Concord, right around the corner from Waltham, said no one ever. Our bad. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, this is Mike in Concord.
Yep. Okay. Yes, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on this Raffy situation, and you know everybody talked about the inflection point. What really triggered this off? I want to say, as someone who's followed the Red Sox, followed baseball for decades, when you have a $30 million player who, with a game on the line, does not run down first base, that in itself is reason to get rid of that player.
Hard to disagree.
Thank you for the call, Mike.
It's one of my pet peeves, I'm telling you. When I didn't see him run out that ball, I forget which series it was, 3 weeks ago, I go on Twitter Yankees, and I had to say something. Yeah. Did you see how hard he was running out ground balls for the Giants, though?
Of course.
I'm like, bro, you're going to pull a hamstring. Careful about Raffy. So.
Watch out. I wonder if when we get to our predictions for the series, maybe that should be on the board. Does Raffy pull a hamstring trying to leg one out against the Sox?
For reals. I would put that on there, man.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll try to get to the rest of your calls before we pass the baton at 6 o'clock to Christian Arcan. Coming up, it's a Friday edition of Odds and Ends, where we get to the anniversary of one of the greatest films of all time, some summertime favorites, and pay off the rest of that NFL quarter century list with the same guy who's going to catch you up on trending sports news right now. Here's Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by MassMutual. The Red Sox open up a 3-game road series against Rafael Devers and the San Francisco Giants tonight. First pitch is at 10:15. Hunter Dobbins will start opposite Hayden Bernsong for the Giants. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 9:15, and Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call of the game. The Red Sox confirmed earlier today that rookie Christian Campbell has been optioned down to AAA Worcester, and that outfielder Willier Abreu has been activated from the injured list. Also from today, the Red Sox traded left-handed pitcher Zach Penrod to the Los Angeles Dodgers in exchange for cash considerations. Penrod had been recently DFA'd from the roster. In the NBA Finals, the Pacers have forced a seventh game with a 108-91 home win over the Thunder last night. Indiana had six players reach double digits in points. Game 7 is Sunday night at 8 p.m. in OKC. Earlier today, the Bruins announced that Steve Spott has been added to the team's coaching staff as an assistant. Spott spent the past three seasons as an assistant with the Dallas Stars. He oversaw a Stars power play that had a 23.7% success rate over the last 3 years, ranking 7th in the NHL. The Revolution are off this weekend. They host Nashville SC on Wednesday night at Gillette, and LSU will face Coastal Carolina in the Men's College World Series. That best of three will begin tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight at 9:15 with our guy, Christian Arcan. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yes, the iconic music, one of the great pieces from the GOAT of film composers, from one of the great movies of one of the greatest directors of all time, and the reason why to this day you still think twice about getting in the ocean. That's the theme from Jaws by John Williams, brilliantly directed by Steven Spielberg, which celebrates its 50th anniversary today. An unbelievable achievement in cinema it was 50 years ago. The movie still as good as it was back in the day. Imminently rewatchable. One of the all-time greats. And believe it or not, you can watch it on Peacock now, and you can watch it a million other places. But tonight on NBC, there'll be an 8 o'clock screening, Steven Spielberg giving a preamble to the film's resonance and impact. Just truly one of the all-time greats, and I wanted to toss it around to you guys. Ted, I know you're a big movie guy. When did you first see Jaws, and what kind of impact did that movie have on you as a film buff? And as somebody who has dared ever go in the Atlantic,
it had a huge impact on me. It was the reason my development in water skiing was delayed. So the movie came out in 1975. I was 3 years old at the time. I saw Jaws. I mean, I saw Jaws. I had older siblings, and so I was watching movies that I shouldn't have been watching all the time. And so Jaws was one of them, and I was terrified. I haven't come from a big marina family that owned ski boats and water ski guys that ski, you know, my cousins skied in water ski tournaments. And so at 4 or 5 years old, when I watched this, when I went to learn how to water ski up at Lake Austin, Inks Lake up there, I was terrified to get in the water. I could not at age four realize that fresh water is different than where the sharks live, Ted. The sharks live in the salt water. That's the ocean. The lake is no sharks. Great. And so
you were smarter than me. I thought they were in my pool.
There you go. So
you had a pool? You're lying already. I know you.
I would have been a tournament water skier if it wasn't for Jaws at an early age. But so that's my story. It scared the bejesus out of me. And I have a healthy respect for the ocean. I got my scuba diving license. I have my underwater certification. And I go down there and I'm still kind of have a lot of respect for what happens under there.
Yeah.
And I'm always a little bit nervous when we do open water dives, especially if there's, you know, we might have a chance to see sharks. I am in awe of them. And the movie had a huge impact on me.
And it's birthed a whole, it's birthed a whole generation of shark fanatics. Like you look at Discovery Shark Week every single week. We were kind of tongue in cheek talking about them, but the Sharknado movies that came out of it. So I continue to see those connections of the original Jaws and all of a sudden now the kids who are watching Jaws are creating their own shark content in the 20 or 30 years past. But Stiz, were you about to follow up on your being scared of being in your pool?
Well, I was just going to say, too, fun fact, Ted never would have guessed that you have your underwater license that and you're big into scuba.
I have about 50 open water dives.
Wow. Good for you.
Oh, I love
Damn,
it. Love
you
it,
couldn't
love
pay
it.
Me enough.
I think I have a touch of thalassophobia, which is like the fear of
fear
the
of
ocean.
Intimacy?
Oh. Yeah. Just the vastness of it. I think that's why I'm obsessed with Titanic. Yeah. But I mean,
it's
for
Titanic.
Me,
yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's just, it freaks me out. But, I mean, I've just, as a huge horror fan, I've been a fan of Jaws ever since a little kid. And in fact, I remember, 8, 9 years old, we went to Disney World, Universal Studios, and I couldn't wait to go on the Jaws ride. It was like the
it's
best.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still there.
I think it is.
I mean, just, oh my God, you go on this little pontoon boat and the thing comes out of the water. Oh my God, Jaws.
Can I quickly tell you about just the experience underwater?
Like, oh my God, please.
You know, you I've gone down to probably about 100 feet, you know, which is really deep, right?
Yeah.
You can't stay down there very long. You take more nitrogen so you can only be down there for a certain amount of time. But do you have any desire to ever go into space or to feel what space would feel like?
Yeah, and it's similar, right?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the neutral buoyancy. That's what they say. And so astronauts train underwater for the same feeling. So it's it's like you are in space, but underwater is the feeling that you get. And so that's...
When's the last time you went on a dive?
It's about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I need to get my certification because I feel like that amount of time has gone by. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting on all my stuff. I'd need to have to get a refresher course. But
yeah,
anyway, we digress. So.
Yeah, no, please. But these are the little things, the influences and impact that the movie had, like how many people were afraid to honestly go in the water. How many people saw that movie time and time again as it was one. Like, this movie gave birth to the modern summer blockbuster, you could say, in a lot of ways. Like Jaws walked so Star Wars could run a couple of years later. It also gave birth to the horror monster film. There were obviously horror monster films previously, Stiz, with like the
Frankenstein,
the thing
Wolfman,
from outer space. But nothing, no one perfected the craft of it like Spielberg did in Jaws. And I don't think there was a movie, believe it or not, dork alert coming in 3, 2, 1, going to film school at NYU and studying cinema like a real hardo for 4 years and beyond and being such a movie buff. I don't think there was a movie they showed us more in terms of perfecting the art of cinematic storytelling through the visual element than Jaws. Like, it's just everything about it is so, there's a reason why it's had such popularity and such staying power. Dan, you were talking earlier how cool it's been that people do pool party viewing sessions. People watch it down by the ocean. And it's amazing that it's still as good, you know, to watch today as it is. And Ted, I asked Dan earlier, I'd like to know, when did you first show it to your kids? And do you think I would be smart or dumb to show it to my kids tonight?
Yeah, I heard that earlier. I would be a little nervous about the 8-year-old, you know, but it's also, you know, it's a movie, honey, you know, it's not real. You know, so, mm-hmm. But, look, I think, they can see a lot worse out there. So I would say, go ahead and show it to them.
Yeah, if I ever let Uncle Stiz babysit them 5 minutes into, you know, Barbarian or Midsummer, right, or whatever the hell he would show them.
I bought the Blu-ray about 3 years ago, and I decided to make it a tradition. Every 4th of July, I watch Jaws. And I'm
Do
gonna,
you really?
Yeah, well, I've only been doing it 3 years, but yeah, every 4th of July, that's like my 4th of July movie. I'm going to sit down and watch Jaws.
Right from Joey Chestnut into Jaws.
That's right.
What a day. What a day in Revere.
To Fitzy's point, though, Jaws is one of the last big films of the pre-CGI era. So special effects.
Yes, practical effects, Ted, exactly.
Had to be wielded, hammered, and bolted together, yep.
Yes, it's awesome. So I hope everybody has a Jaws screening tonight, this weekend, whatever, with the great weather. Perfect movie to throw up.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
So good. So good.
Stiz, you want a new fear from the text line?
Yes.
It's also the source of the creation of the term submechanophobia, the fear of submerged man-made objects.
Oh, I have that. No, I have. So, Ted, would you dive down to...
That happens every
and
morning
And I've seen
after
this
I have
a
coffee.
Bunch, like a shipwreck.
Nope.
You would, yeah. Well, see, me neither.
Not,
that would
not
freak
in a,
me out.
Not, like the Titanic, the documentary well, that's on right
that
now.
That you could never even.
I couldn't.
You could never. But I'm talking about
never,
one that's maybe 50 feet down.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Oh, I got a story for you. Oh, of course I have.
I find the ocean far more terrifying than outer space.
Hit
by
me.
Way.
Oh,
I've been to a 80 feet deep shipwreck off in the Cayman Islands. Real quick, story, true
yes,
story.
Please.
This is my first open water dive.
Great day for TED Talks.
I got certified at the University of Colorado. Great, great instructor there. And because I always had a planned trip, this was my senior year before I was drafted by the Patriots.
Right.
A little bit. I was going with my stepbrother and his wife to the Cayman Islands because they, the year before, had gotten their certification and dove the Caymans. And they went the next year with me, and I wanted to learn how to dive. And so I did at Colorado. And then, so my first open water dive was a shipwreck, 80 feet about underwater off the coast of the Cayman Islands, probably about 200 to 300 yards out.
Oof.
Okay. True story. We get to the bottom. My sister-in-law is at the, is just kind of up and to the right of my, out of my vision. My stepbrother is on the ocean floor looking under the hull, and I'm looking under the hull with him. All of a sudden, I feel something kick me in my back. I turn around. My sister has no regulator in her mouth, and that is the thing that you breathe in. There's two.
Yeah.
They have two regulators. If one's not working, you bring the other one. The regulator was not in her mouth. Her mouth was – she was screaming with bubbles coming out. She grabs me, pulls me in close, and so all of a sudden, my arms are locked in tight, and – I'm like, holy crap, she's going to die down here. What I do is I start kicking, and I give my regulators, because you're taught to buddy breathe, I give my regulator to her to breathe on regulator, and she never gave it back to me 80 feet deep. I held my breath all the way to the top.
That's probably a minute.
True story. I should have gotten what they call the bends, because you're not supposed to ascend fast.
Right.
True story. So my stepbrother sees me kicking, and I'm kicking without my arms, right, because she's got her arms around me. He rips off one of my fins because he saw me going up too fast.
Oh.
So I kicked with one fin to the very top and held my breath. I realized she wasn't going to give me my regulator back. And I just looked at the top and I was like, I don't know if I can make it.
They always say that, like, with people, be careful if you see someone drowning. Obviously, your first instinct is to help, but sometimes they're panicking so much that they can actually cause you to drown. Sometimes I say punch them in the face just to kind of stun them a little bit.
I couldn't have done that under the water.
Yeah, yeah. But,
so here's what happened. So I was fresh off my course. I knew everything, where everything fit, everything's supposed to go. They were a year removed from diving. And we didn't go through our checks with her. She wasn't comfortable on our descension. We were going down, and I could see her a little fidgety with her equipment.
Right.
She got down there. She said when we got to the top, and it was like, what the hell? She goes, something's wrong with my equipment. So I wasn't getting air. And we checked the regulator, both of them. Both of them worked perfectly.
Right.
She hyperventilated underwater.
Yeah.
And she thought something happened to her equipment when it was her hyperventilating. So she saw me and just grabbed me.
Panicked, yeah.
And panicked. And so buddy breathing was out the door. Like when someone's in shock, they're not thinking. There was no way she was going to hand me back my regulator.
Right.
So luckily, I was just deep enough to not get the bends and just deep enough not to kill myself by having enough air when I got to the top. But that was my first open water dive experience. And their kids thank me all the time for saving their mom, or else they wouldn't have been here.
Yeah. The fact that there was a second dive after that being your first dive is bonkers
to
me. The
second dive, 30.
And then 48 more after that.
Yeah. Like, that would have happened to me. I'm like, all right, sign from God. Nope. I'm done. Washing my hands of this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what you do? Please.
Your first dive, don't go 80 feet. Just do a nice little 30 feet.
Right.
Kind of easy dive.
Like the bunny hill.
Check out a small reef. Look at some fish from Finding Nemo. We did that
the next day. So good advice.
Holy mackerel.
That's a true story. Yep. There you go.
Damn, how about that? We've had some guy cleaning up Edger and James, frustrating Peyton Manning, and saving people a couple of fathoms below. Unbelievable. Ted Johnson, not all heroes wear capes, but some wear number 52. Yeah,
I'll tell you, and I tell this to my son all the time, that's what being in shape was. If I wasn't in good enough physical shape, I would have been dead.
Yep.
But, you know, so there's, you never know when you're going to need that, you know, your health in a crisis time like that. And I certainly, thank God, was in a good enough shape to be able to hold my breath the whole way up.
Do your pull-ups and eat your creatine.
That's
kids.
It. That's the.
Hey,
that's
and by the way, if we can go full screen real quick for Zoko on the Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I switched my background from my remote broadcast studio location. I'll give you guys a quick little view right now as I step to the side. This was just sent to me moments ago by my cousin who happened to be playing golf in North Carolina, and playing in front of him, some bachelor golfers by the name of Drake and Luke May, who he immediately recognized. And so then my cousin went over and took a shot. That's where Drake May's getting married this weekend.
Atta boy. Let's go.
There we go.
Hey, hurry up, get married, and get back and get to work, bud.
Great story. Exactly.
Which one was a great story? The fact that my cousin golfed behind Drake May, or Ted saved his sister's life? Sure.
Looks like a nice course, though, man.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a nice track for sure. Definitely out of my budget. 617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll clean up everything else we can on the looser side of odds and ends, plus get to some summertime favorites and cross it over with Arcan. And folks, that right there, that's Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Oh, another high-quality show, just about in the books, boys. Well done. A couple minutes left here to this edition of WEEI Afternoons. Just want to shout out everyone that has contributed to the show this week. Great work, Ted. Great work, Dan, Javon, David, of course, Stiz Grimey, who Ted said yesterday was producing his ass off this week.
How about it, Stiz?
How about it, Stiz?
Everyone, all around. Good job. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, we had a lot of breaking news. We had a lot of big stories to chew on this week. A lot of fun stuff, and now we get to steer into the first weekend of summer. The weather is supposed to be beautiful. We have languished with 13 straight rainy Saturdays. Well, no more, folks. You can actually just get outside, sun your buns, practice some buddy breathing, do a deep dive, watch Jaws, crush it like Quint, whatever you so choose. And I wanted to ask you guys here, what is your As summer approaches, what is your absolute most favorite thing about summer? What do you look forward to?
The ball butter going.
My favorite. I love just that, just feeling that slimy little feeling there between the legs. Nice.
Oh, the old Swassachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Ball, what's your favorite? With Dan Ball butter, what's your favorite thing about
summer? Oh, great. Yeah, that one's going to stick. Living the apartment life, and you get told you can't have a grill. You can't have a grill outside. You can't grill.
Yep.
Cookouts, man. I love them. I miss them when I can't have them in the apartment life. And that is the kind of cooking out, like got stuff on the grill and you got the corn and the watermelon and all that kind of the summer food spread that you get with a good cookout. Oh, love it. And I miss it not being able to do it in the producer apartment life.
It's a good call.
Teddy?
Yeah, for me, the summer represents golf with my son and riding my Harley with my girlfriend. She has a Harley. I have a Harley. You guys know Robin. So we take the bikes out a lot. We'll take them out this weekend. And then always we do one annual trip to Winterset, Iowa, which is it's outside of Des Moines. It's where my sister, I have a family of farmers out there, and they have a beautiful, beautiful property. And we have a good old time with my nephews. It's
awesome.
Wild.
Yeah, I'm like dying to go. Like I'm a city boy my whole life, right? So I'm dying to go to some farm in the middle of nowhere.
Love it.
And it's a
great house, a big pool, shoot guns, off fireworks.
I'm
and
all about it.
Winterset, the home. It was where the movie Bridges of Madison County was filmed.
Oh, gorgeous.
And it's also the home of maybe one of the baddest Hollywood actors of our time.
Burt Reynolds.
Good call. Great call. No, John Wayne. Wayne is
Winterset, the original Rooster Cogburn.
There you go.
The living legend himself.
So what about you, Fitz, huh?
Oh, golf. Are you kidding me? My number one favorite thing is just endless time in the sunshine and on the beach with my kids. I'll live for that. It's my absolute favorite thing. Cape Cod Baseball League games. The sound of the ice cream truck, as triggering as that may be. But I think I'm kind of with you, Dan. I think I just love dinner outside. Just love nothing like, you know, setting up the kids' table, having the adults' table, sitting around all night long. Maybe the ball game is your white noise and accompaniment while you're grilling and chilling. And then just sitting outside in the nice weather, shooing the mosquitoes away and feeling like this night is kind of so perfect. Yeah, let's open another bottle of wine and feel like we can try to live forever. Like, that's just the at whether you're doing ribs, Ted, or you're doing steak tips, or maybe some fresh fish, or just hot dogs and burgers, whatever it may be. It's the absolute best, and I hope everyone gets to enjoy a little bit of their favorite this weekend and all summer long. Do we have a hot splash of Arcan for a crossover?
He is nowhere to be. He might be eating dinner. I'm not sure.
He's prepping for this passing.
He's got a long night tonight. He's got 9:15 pre, so he's going to be here a little while. I do have really quick, Fitz. You have your lineup for the Red Sox.
Oh,
no Giants
you do.
Lineup yet, but we got Duran in left. Carlos Narvaez catching and hitting second with Roman Anthony your DH. Abraham Toro first. Willie Abreu back out and right. Trevor Story in short. Marcelo Meyer third. Seydon Rafaela in center. David Hamilton at second, and Hunter Dobbins is on the mound. So nothing overly revolutionary, but it does, Ted, lengthen out the lineup a little bit. Willie Abreu back. I know he was a bit streaky, but back hitting fifth in right field. Nice to see him back. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Let's hope he can get back to how he started the season when he couldn't miss the damn ball. He was incredible. So should be a fun weekend, boys.
All right, guys. It should be a very fun weekend. Sox with 3 against the Giants. First pitch tonight, 10:15. Arcan got you 6 to 9:15. Jeff Passan at 7. MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 9:15. This has been a great week of radio, guys. We've enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you for allowing us into your head, hearts, and homes for the week to talk some sports, break it down, and beyond. Andy Hart returns from his vacation on Monday. We will talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Go Red Sox. And don't forget, make sure you practice buddy breathing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.